The English language has a lot of strange spellings, pronunciations, and rules. There are silent letters, unexpected pronunciations, and expressions that don't make a lot of sense when you really think about them. Our guest today wanted to know why noses run and feet smell, why of isn't spelled with a V, and why the British put a U in the word color, and we don't. So she wrote a book about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What weird English language rules stand out to you? What words do you think are spelled strangely or pronounced funny if English isn't your first language? What parts were the hardest for you to learn? What made the least sense to you? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Erica Okren is a linguist and author of the book Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme, and Other Oddities of the English Language. Erica, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into some of the big picture stuff, let's start with one example that illustrates a lot of it right out of the title of your book. Tough, through, dough, throw in a hiccup and some others there. O-U-G-H. Why don't all words with that letter cluster rhyme?
Yeah, they look the same. It seems like they should sound the same, but we have just a mess of different pronunciations. Sometimes it's an F, like a cough, or sometimes it's not pronounced at all. The vowels are all different. And the reason, as with most weird things about English, is history and the unusual history of the language. That GH there in those words we used to pronounce. It's an old sound that English doesn't have anymore. That's sort of like a ch sound, a blech sound. And if you look at some words in German and their English counterparts, you can see like night, Nacht, light, Licht, neighbor, Nachbar. That's still in German, and they go back, both German and English, go way back to the same distant ancestor. So we had that sound, and we had it long enough to get it into the writing, but we didn't keep it, and now it shifted and changed in various ways, giving us all kinds of different pronunciations, but not before it got settled in the writing.
And it got settled in different ways, because as you mentioned, sometimes that sound turned into an F, sometimes it disappeared altogether. So maybe that town over there won on dough, and that town over there won on tough.
Yeah, and sometimes there's still two. So we have dough, but there's in England, there's a dessert called plum duff that they eat at Christmas time. And that's the same word. They say duff. And it went on to that usage. But in other places, it became dough. So yeah, just to make it more confusing.
And this example illustrates the main theme of your book, that we can look at English in 2022 and say, yeah, it's just English. It's weird. And there aren't any rules. But all of this stuff comes out of a long history, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not random. It feels like it's very random and unexplainable. It's not random and it's not unexplainable, but that doesn't mean it's logical. So things change in one place, but not in another. Things change at one point in history, and that leaves lumps and bumps that don't get changed later. So we can explain it, but sometimes it's a pretty involved explanation. But it is there, and we don't have to feel like it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense, but there's a reason for it.
Now, we asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page for some of their examples, and the first one we got is the first one you tackle in the book. Ted just had a one-word answer to our question, colonel, like the rank in the army, C-O-L-O-N-E-L. There's not an R in sight, and we say colonel, and that's got a trilingual story you write in the book.
Yeah, how do you spell this word? How do you say this word? They don't match at all. But they did at one time. When we first got the word colonel, we borrowed it from French, who at that time said coronel. So we took coronel, and we dropped some syllables from coronel to colonel. That's a very typical thing that happens in language change. But then in the 15th, 1600s, people went back to the source of these words, which was Italian, and started reading these old Italian military treatises, and they said, ah, colonel, that's what it was in Italian. French had changed the L to the R in coronel. So we looked at that, those old texts, and said, oh, well, it's properly, it should be colonel. And if you were educated and wanted to show that you were educated, you started writing it colonel. And French actually changed, they say colonel now, but we kept saying colonel, but while writing it colonel. And some people tried to change the pronunciation, but it's much harder to change how people speak than it is to change how they write, because it's a certain class of people are doing the writing and they get to make the decisions for the writing, but they can't necessarily say, okay, everyone, you know, now we're going to pronounce it this way. And so we're lucky we get both. We get the whole range.
We're talking to Erica Okrent, a linguist, author of the new book, Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme, and Other Oddities of the English Language. You can join in with your own examples. What are the things that stand out to you as weird in the way we spell or say words in English? Do you have a question for our guest about why these things happen? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, we got into that early Germanic stuff. We've borrowed one from the French. Those are two big sections of your book. You just mentioned written English, and a thing that locked in a lot of weirdnesses is the invention of the printing press. What happened?
Yeah, the printing press made it easier to produce written texts in English. Written texts were being produced before then, but at the time it was, you know, 1476, that's when it came to England. And English was in kind of a transition at that point because it had stopped being a written language for a few hundred years after the French takeover. People were still speaking English, but the writing was in French or in Latin. It was controlled by the class of people who do the writing, and they were not speaking English. They were doing French or Latin. So English is starting to become a written language again, and how we, it's very different now. How do we spell things? How do we write things? The language is not the same as it was when we had a writing system of old English. So it's up in flux. It's changing. Meanwhile, the printing press is doing great. People love having the ability to print out things and spread them around, but nobody's doing it consistently. There's no such thing as a dictionary. There's no such thing as an editor or a book of here's our house style. Everyone's winging it, doing different things based on their pronunciation, based on what they've seen before. And it's all spreading around really fast now because we can produce the texts so much faster. So that period of time, it was really unlucky that the time when the printing press came, the language wasn't in a position to be settled. It was very much in flux. And so it settled in this way, in that way, in that way, in that place, in all kinds of different ways. And now we're stuck with the results because you can't change it now.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Laura is with us in Madison. Laura, hi. Are you there, Laura?
Hi, I'm here. I was wondering what the difference was between awesome and awful. Why, if there's some awe, why wouldn't it be full of awe? And awful means something completely different. Thank you.
Interesting, Laura. Thanks, Erica.
Yeah, that's a very typical thing we do in English and other languages too. We have sort of opposite meaning words from the same root. So we, awful is bad and awesome is good. We have, terrible is bad and terrific is good, but those both come from terror. And it's kind of similar to awe because awe was fear. That's something you tremble with awe before a great power. And that to be awful would to be sort of having this feeling of fear, trembling before power. So how do we get from that to awesome? Well, fear, we like to use fear to intensify what we're trying to say. So when words get a little stale or a little boring, we don't want to say, oh, that was, you know, that was a really good performance. We want to say, oh, that was frightfully good, which was, you know, that was popular a few decades ago. But another way to do that is to say it was, you know, it was awesome. Like, it was so good. It was scary good. You know, that's something we do now. We use fear to intensify the positive emotion we want to express. And we have a few vocabulary items that are, that have made that flip back and forth. Fear is a really great way to freshen up your vocabulary when it's starting to get boring and stale.
We're having an awfully good conversation with linguist Erica Okrand about her latest book, Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme, and Other Oddities of the English Language. You can share your favorites or confusions at 800-642-1234. What English pronunciations and or spelling strike you as odd? Do you wonder why certain words look the way they do? What are your favorite or least favorite quirks of this English language? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with linguist Erica Okrent. Her latest book is called Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme, and Other Oddities of the English Language. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234 with your questions about the origins of certain strangenesses in the English language, the way we spell and pronounce and say stuff. Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Anne is with us in Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi. So I teach preschool and kindergarten, and we don't really worry about spelling at this age. It's not the most important thing at all. But the children who are ready for spelling are so confused. They're like, they see this O-U-G-H, and they see enough and through, and they're just like, what? Why?
What do you tell them, Anne, when they ask you why?
I basically say what the author said at the very beginning. I say, English is weird, you know, and sometimes I give little hints towards, you know, oh, we our language comes from several other languages. But, you know, it's a pretty complex topic for a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I was really wondering, though, I had read this study that said that there are languages that have that are orthographically simple, whereas ours has orthographic complexity, which basically means weird spellings, as far as I understand it. And that our language and languages with this complexity take like 3 years longer for children to learn to write.
Interesting. And thanks for the call. And I know, Erica, I try and fail to learn Spanish. And the letter, one thing I like is the letters. You see that letter? It's always going to be said the same pretty much. Is English orthographically complex, like Anne said? Does it make it harder to learn to spell?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's not as hard to learn to spell or to write as Mandarin or something. That takes a lot longer. But of all the languages that use the Latin alphabet, English is the most confusing because the Latin alphabet and its adoption happened at more convenient times in other languages, either after they had already gone through major changes or before. So it might be inconsistent, like French has a lot of, you know, rules you have to learn, but you can fit them all on a few pages and they're pretty consistent. Polish looks very complex to us, but it's very simple. You can put all the rules on a page and know how to pronounce it. And most languages that use the Latin alphabet are like that. But no, English to list all of its exceptions and rules takes about 450 pages. That's the most complete explanation of English spelling is ridiculous that way. So yeah, it is. Learning to read and write English is a lot more difficult than it is in other languages because of that the bad timing of the printing press, which is when things get settled. How do we spell this? What's our habit? That happened over the course of a couple hundred years, but at a very bad time when the language was really changing. The whole vowel system was changing. English had not been written that much before. So it was a bad stroke of bad luck for English writing.
Thanks for the call. And we'll go to Marie now in Eau Claire. Marie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Marie?
Hey, I just was going to coattail on that comment. I'm just wondering, I know the printing press was invented a long time ago, but I'm wondering why there can't be a few spelling changes a year. You know, we have a few new words a year. There's a couple of words that would be so helpful if we could change them. I'm a reading tutor, especially silent letters. Couldn't we all agree on 5 or 10 a year that we drop the G in knife or we drop the G in gnome? That would just make it easier for everyone. Is there a reason we can't have a consensus to make these type of progressive changes?
Marie, thanks for that call. Actually, it's even worse than that, Erica. If I remember correctly, when we were trying to standardize English, we actually added in some silent letters because people thought it'd be more consistent, like O-U-G-H has got added where they hadn't been before.
Yeah. Sometimes like the word haughty is didn't originally have that G-H in there, but it seemed to look better. And we do and have made decisions based on the look of words. So like the word could did not have an L in it. But should and would did, because those come from shall and will. So there's a reason for the L in should and would. Could comes from can. There was no reason for there to be an L, but it fits together with those two other words. They're similar in function. They're similar in form. It just evened out the little paradigm there to put the L in. So yeah, that's sort of the opposite of what you're saying. Putting in words, putting in letters where they never were and shouldn't be is something we've also done. But people have tried. They have tried over and over again to simplify English spelling. Many proposals have been put out. Many people have, you know, they've created a whole journal written in simple English or whatever their system is. And the problem is that it just looks too funny. It's sort of like when you see one of those meme, like I Ken has cheeseburger type writing. If you see a lot of text in simplified English, it looks funny to us. And it's even harder to read for people who have already become literate. Now, if you're just learning to read, it would make sense. But it's kind of too late. We have too much of a habit already established so that if we try to simplify too much, it actually becomes harder to recognize the word fast enough because we don't sound things out so much when we're reading, unless it's an unfamiliar word. We recognize. So it's the balance between the people who already know it and the people who are trying to learn it. And it's really hard to make the change for the benefit of the people who are trying to learn it when there are so many people who just have the habit already.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Erica Okrent. Her new book is called Highly Irregular. It's about the weirdnesses of the English language, how they got there. Back to your calls. Fawn is with us in Madison. Hi, Fawn.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that same topic. My late godfather, John Malone, he invented an alternate orthography for English where there was one letter for each phoneme, for each sound that's in the English language, and one letter per sound. He called it unifon, U-N-I-F-O-N. So there wouldn't be those irregularities of Q-U. That would be K-W or, you know, the rest that you're describing. And it's like, it's as you said, those things never catch on. Like Hooked on Phonics, that can't be turned into our regular everyday spelling because people are too attached to the old traditions, I guess you could say. But it's a shame, really, because given that English is de facto the world's universal language, lingua franca, as it were, universal language, people from all over the globe shouldn't have to learn this convoluted and tortured spelling just to communicate with each other. And so what you're describing is that, and you're saying that English is, in essence, part phonetic, but part ideograms in the wake of a word, and you recognize the meaning even before you recognize the...
Gotcha. Fawn, we don't have too much time left. Looks like 40 letters in that Unifon system. Erica, the tricky thing here is trying to change language in any way by doing it on purpose.
Yeah, this is language is it's a part of nature. It's a human behavior, and it's not amenable to control from above. So, invent a new language that has no irregularities and perfect match between meaning and form. You can spend your lifetime inventing that, but that has nothing to do with if you make it perfect, but how will you get people to use it? That's the part that just, it doesn't follow. It's very hard to make people change their language from above with some kind of system, no matter how perfect the system is. But it's also perfect is in the eye of the beholder, and everybody who's created these has come up with a different way of doing it. And also, if you're doing it for spelling, it's based on your pronunciation, which differs from other people's. You know, people have accents, people pronounce vowels differently, people do or do not pronounce certain letters in different places. And so who's gets to be the official version? That's always going to come up when you're trying to create a perfect spelling.
Erica, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today. That's Erica Okrent, linguist and author of the book Highly Irregular, Why Tough, Through, and Dough Don't Rhyme and Other Oddities of the English Language. You can keep sharing your strangenesses and oddities of the English language, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or share your favorites, email ideas@WPR.org.